this morning and kind of started last night. But she was asleep. Angela's there. So we'll, I'll know more. But just we're just battling for her to get healthier, stronger. And so just keep praying. Okay? But one of the things I have come to realize, there are things you learn in life, like one of the things that used to confuse me all the time is like Tylenol. I think I've said this before, but you read the label extra strength Tylenol and it says faster acting. I'm thinking, why would you sell anything other than extra strength Tylenol? I mean, you go in there and look at extra strength Tylenol and it says faster acting. You go, well, no, I would like the slower acting Tylenol because I'd like to hurt a little bit longer. Then the other thing is, those things that you put under people, you know, that got the little plastic bottom and sort of cottony top little thing, why do they call them chucks? All my life, I've heard, now all of a sudden, in the midst of this, because I've become very intimate with those things, I thought, well, I resent that. And John, where are you at? They call toilets John. So you got toilets or John. And then the things that people do in the bed are called chucks. So I'm out to try to change that. I think that that's one of the things that we should change. Makes kind of a prophetic, yucky thing to think. It's been a... I'm not sure what's going on, what I've done to myself here. If anybody can see what I've done to myself, I'd really appreciate help. There we go. Here, George, would you do something with someone to get up and down? Thank you. There's not been a lot of sleep the last 8 or 9 days. A lot of up and down and chaos kind of thing. Often what the Lord will do with me over the years, not often, but there have been occasions when God's done this to me where you're walking through something that's difficult. It could be warfare or just intense things. And I know that Dan and Kay have been through some intense stuff in the last little while. That there'll just be this song that'll come alive in me. And it could be a song that I don't remember that I remembered. Now, I knew it from years ago, but it just sort of flows up in me. And probably Friday, because things were tough in the hospital. This just is. I mean, the hospitals are built to make things worse, and you don't get sleep. They make things worse. And but when we got home, I didn't realize how sick she'd gotten, and so it's just been challenging. Right now, Libby can't sit up. She can't turn over. She can't do anything. And but this song began to come up in me that I learned when I was many years ago. This chorus is one part of this long verse that. This just blessed me so. So I'm just going to speak it to you. I'm actually going to sing it to you. Not very well, but prophetically. It goes like this. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, reigning all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day, perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. That's been kind of the last few days that the Lord's allowed that to happen. And so just pray. Just keep praying as we pray for you guys. And Olivia misses you, but she's home resting. And hopefully she'll start eating some things today. What I did a little bit, what I wanted to do last week, but we had something better actually, Kristen. And if you're wondering why it's so hot in here, because I think we've set the temperature on 112. It's really hot in here. So somebody might want to shut that down, whoever did that. 30 tons of a heat hurricane flowing through here. Yeah. I kind of want to just put a bow on that word that we shared for a few weeks about the process of transformation, which is what we're all engaged in. We've all been recruited into this process of transformation. There's again this place in Romans chapter 8 that talks about what we've all been committed to by the Lord. Now, what happens is we surrender to that commitment. We own that commitment, but it's His commitment to us first. It's what He's committed us to. And this is a real familiar verse, verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's something that God has predestined for each one of us. You all have different vocations. Our life looks different on the outside in terms of things we do. You may have different ministry gifts. But this is one thing that's true, that every one of us have a destiny. It's a predestiny, and that destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what you and I are called to. Now, the word conformed carries the idea of outward behavior. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think it's 18, says, "Be ye therefore holy in all your behavior." Not just in your position in the Lord. You know, we've asked that question before. Were you born sanctified, holy, or do you grow in holiness? And the answer to that question is yes. You got everything in Christ the moment you were born again, but it's got to be actualized in your experience. That's the growth process. And that's when so our outward behavior becomes more and more like Christ as a result of another word that sounds like conformed, transformed. Because transformation is the thing that happens on the inside that ends up popping out on the outside. That begins to manifest itself in external fruit where people can see. So there's a Christ-likeness transformation on the inside that begins to manifest itself in outward behavior. Outward, as a person thinks, Scripture says, so are they. And so as God renews our minds, again, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Stop being conformed to this world. Stop behaving like the world, outward behavior. And the way that happens is be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that God's will is good and perfect and acceptable in your life. So we looked at that some. There's a place in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that talks about transformation. It's the only other word where time, place where that word's used, except in the transfiguration in the Gospels. That's the same word. And what we've said is the renewing of our mind, I guess sort of a general statement, and I wouldn't be the first person to ever say this, is that the renewing of our mind, when a person's mind is being renewed, they begin to reveal the reality of heaven in their own life and on earth. What they begin to reveal is the mind of Christ. The things that they say and the way they approach stuff. As a matter of fact, you begin to walk in the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. Because when you're in union experientially with the mind of Christ, you're in union with the way Christ thinks, and you're in union with the way Christ would approach a situation because He's your life. And therefore, you're living your faith. He says, "My joy will make your joy full." Well, what little faith I have, He completes it. And I live by the faith of the Son of God as I put on the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ, just like I have Jesus. But the Scripture says, put on Christ. As we put on the mind of Christ, as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We saw that the word renew is an interesting word. It means to think up. Not think towards, but to think as people who are up. For you have been seated in the heavenly places in Christ. That you're in union with Christ, the person that you once were, died on the cross with Jesus. And you were raised up in Him as a total new creation, in union with His life. Christ is your very life. Christ in you. And as our minds are being renewed, we begin to grow experientially, thinking like the new creation that is in union with Jesus, that's one with Christ. You with me? Galatians 2:20 is a good description of the new creation. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. There's still me, but Christ and I are in union with each other. And so as I learn to live in union with Him, His life is manifested. Now, we're still two because we have intimate relationship with each other. We have intimacy. We seek each other. Anybody that ever tells you that you don't have an independent self, that's absolute hogwash. That's just a thing out there floating around, but it's not true. Because you do. Now, yourself is in union with Christ, but there's this union relationship that He lives in His life through me, but we live in intimacy with each other as if we were two. Relationship involves two people relating to each other. And the more I grow in that, well, anyway, okay? So, before we get to 2 Corinthians 3, let me show you a few things, back up, and kind of create a context for you. Now, here's my prayer. So, you just have to be merciful. I trust you will be. It's a good test for your mercy button. My brain is a little sawdust from not a lack of sleep. And so, if it comes across, God's grace will overrule delivery, I trust. My lack of communication skills. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And notice that word mystery. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. He goes on, he speaks more, he says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as has now been revealed in his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The mystery is the promise in Christ Jesus. But He's been called to tell the Gentiles, you get a part of that promise that's in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me, according to the working of His power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The mystery of Christ Jesus. The promise of Christ Jesus. The unsearchable riches of the person of Jesus. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might be now be made known through the church of the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, that in accordance with His eternal purpose, He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, all that is to say, the word mystery in Colossians is this is used here. And again, we just backed up a little bit. I'm building a little thing I want. Then we'll go a little building some material to work with when we finally get back to 2 Corinthians 3, alrighty, in the transformation. This is verse 26, verse 25 of Colossians 1. Of His church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship or administration from God bestowed on me for your benefit that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Here's the Word of God He was to carry out. The mystery, which has been hidden from the ages and generations, but has now been manifested in the saints. That mystery is now manifested in believers, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the saints, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim Him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we might present every man mature, complete, in Christ. It says in Colossians 2 that you've been made complete in Christ. But this verse says we want to present every man complete in Christ. In other words, Paul said, my ministry is to preach Him, to help you discover the gospel, the great mystery revealed in the saints, Christ in you, and that you would so walk in that. Galatians 4:19, Christ would be so formed in you. You don't get more of Him, He just gets more of you. Christ would be so formed in you that you would become mature expression and manifestation of the life of Christ. Okay? That's the mystery. In Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is familiar. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we will be revealed with Him in glory. Now again, hang in there with me. And this one. This is the one that all the time in the hospital, all since we've been home, all the times of drawing on the resources that's ours in Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that Christ lives in you, your hope of glory. And as that Christ who lives in you, you draw from, is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. So how in the world, when you're in the situation that some of you have been in lately, when you're in tight places, difficult places that are pressing you. Scripture uses the word hard pressed, pressed in on every side. You ever been in that place where you're just pressed in on every side? You'll discover quickly that your human resources run out. And then you find yourself giving in to frustration and anger and impatience. Even in the places that you desire not to more than anything else. But my teacher used to say, man's extremities are God's opportunities. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not ourselves. Pressed in on every side. Caring about the body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. To hear this scripture. This is the coolest scripture. This is the newest, coolest scripture. All right? Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14 is this one sentence where Paul can never put a period. It's the longest sentence in scripture. One of the longest sentences in literature. It's probably incorrect somehow. But if Paul begins to talk about the grace of God in our lives and God's purposes and His kind intentions for us, it's just as if he can't put a period on it. I think he had to force himself to put a period at the end of verse 14. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. So, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He has lavished upon us. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You don't have barely enough grace. It's been lavished upon you. And grace has a face. And grace is the free activity, the free influence of God in your life is in the person of Jesus. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intentions, which He purposed in Jesus, with a view to the administration. There's that word again. Stewardship, administration. Let me just give you the simplest way to understand this word, because it carries the idea of governing a household or governing a season or governing a moment. When we elect a president, they ought to refer to, and this administration. In other words, we're now the ones in charge of the country, and this is our vision. Alrighty? So this administration, our administration, and you always hear whatever president is, but they'll always talk about this administration, what this administration's done. This is the goal of this administration. This is what this administration stands for. So it has the idea of ruling something, governing something, running something a certain way with a certain vision. Now listen to what this administration is about. With a view, or the word literally is into, this is so awesome, the administration of the fullness of times, the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Now, God transcends my inability to explain something that's so unsearchable. Here's when Christ, in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, there's a new administration. And that administration is all about the fullness of time. A time of fullness. Where everything is summed up in Jesus. The word summed up could be get pulled together or gets its act together. But it's summed up. Let me... When Jesus died, in his death, an old order stopped being. In his resurrection, a new order came to life. And you've heard me say this last spring, that if there's one dominating, announcing theme throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospel, is this. That there's been, on the earth, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the birthing of a whole new world and a whole new humanity that won't be consummated until he comes again. We're in between Advents. We're about to enter the season of Advent, anticipating the second Advent, the coming of Christ. But in the first coming of Christ, he came to accomplish death. And his death, burial, and resurrection, hear these words. With a view, and it literally should be, his kind intention, which he purposed in him, in Jesus, into this administration of the fullness of times. We're living in a season called the fullness of times. The whole world, in its fallenness, waited for the one whose heel would be bruised, who would bruise the serpent's head. When Jesus died on the cross, he took corporate humanity with him. You died in the crucifixion of Christ. Now, only those who appropriate Jesus as Savior, does that become theirs personally. But he took corporate humanity with him, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the old self, the old man, died in Christ. And in a way, because he goes on and he says this, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. The whole fallen, broken world order died on that cross. The old fallen, broken you. The you controlled by depression. The you controlled by fear. The you controlled by lust. The you controlled by greed. The you controlled by temptation. The you by impatience or anger or whatever. Insecurity. That person died on the cross. And in the resurrection, there was the birthing of a whole new world that won't be completed until his coming again, new heavens, new earth. But the process has already started. And we're the first fruit. We're a new creation. And you've been birthed into the fullness of time. This is the fullness of time where the whole world is being renewed. Jesus said, I came to make all things new. You're not what you were. Can you live like you were? Yes. Does sin still live in this fallen humanity? Yes, because this part's not been glorified yet. Your body. So sin still lives in your members. It's part of your fallen, false self. But the new creation is one with Jesus. And everything is summed up in Christ. So, how's that practical? All right. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3. And we may finish this next week. So, no, I know a lot of us are gone on Thanksgiving, but what he says, and with unveiled face, We all behold as mirrors. Not into a mirror, but as if we were mirrors. We all behold as mirrors the glory of the Lord. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Spirit. So at 2:00 in the morning, having not slept for days already, sleeping in that chair that converts into a torture chamber, and sweet people, mean well, I figured some things out, but Lydia, going through, and then at 2:10 in the morning, decide it's time for her to have a bath. Then that's just reasonable to me. Isn't it reasonable to you? Here's a person who needs rest. There's a guy laying over there who's on the point of homicide, who needs rest. And it's hard enough as it is. And so we're going to come in with a happy heart and give you a bath until 2:40 in the morning. Now, in that moment, the law of sin that still lives in your members want to go, what in the world do you think you're doing? And kind of like fuss, right? Get ugly, right? I mean, I know you've never, none of you have ever gotten done that to anybody, or to a waiter or waitress or anybody else, or your wife or husband. But what comes up is this. It says, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? By beholding His glory. See, here's the deal. What's Jesus This is Colossians chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. God's mystery is Jesus. The mystery of the world being made new is Jesus. The mystery of you being a new creation is Jesus. The mystery of you living in fullness, because you've born again into fullness of time, not halfness of time, not the time of defeat and destruction. We're living in fullness of time, renewal time, new creation time, transformation time. That's deposited in you. You have been made full in Him. That's what it says in Colossians 2. For all the fullness of deity is embodied in Him, and you have been made full. Have been made full in Christ. This administration happens in the fullness of time. It's all about everything being summed up in Jesus. And it's about 2:30 in the morning when you'd like to bite somebody's head off, you remember, everything's summed up in you. You're the solution here. You're the solution to everything. And renew my husband, renew. Therefore, I'm going to look to your glory. Because you don't carry kind of impatience and anger and rudeness. You're other. The word holy just means unique, set apart, other. The otherness of Jesus, the glory of Jesus. The renewing of our mind is I'm in Christ, sitting in heavenly places, and I look to Him in that moment and go, everything's summed up in you. You're my only hope of not blowing it here. You're my only chance of not blowing it here. But I've been birthed into fullness. I carry your fullness. It's an administration. You live in an administration spiritually where it's all about you being born into fullness. You got fullness. And everything sums up in Jesus. And in that moment, from that place, in Christ, in the heavenly places, looking to Jesus, beholding Him. Lord, You've got all the patience in the world. Looking to Him. You love this person. You don't want to bite their head off. Lord, You're the grace needed here. And it's unsearchable. The word literally is, you can't fathom it. You never run out of it. And from that place, in union with Christ, I get the mind of Christ. No, this is not how you'd handle it. behold your glory. And from that place, by faith, in union with Him, act accordingly into the situation. I don't care how you feel. And you know what happens? Glory gets revealed. Glory takes over. Instead of you being overcome, you become overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. That's what that said about Mary. So a good example, another example, practical example to me is like you're coming home in the situation, stuff's going on at home, it's really chaotic, kind of nutty, yada, yada, yada. And what's rising up in you is frustration. You want to bark. What do you do in that moment? What do you learn? You behold His glory. You're in union with Him. You're seated in heavenly places. Think up. You're an up person, so think upward. You're already up. You're in the heavenlies of Christ. Behold His glory. Is that Him? Is He the guy who's going to bark? Now, I know this happens in a second, but no. And so, wow, you got the mind of Christ. How would you handle this? You're in me. You're not like going, Jesus, how would you handle this? What would you do if you were here? Let me go act it out. He's here. He's in you. What's your mind here? And behold your glory here. Your otherness here. It's other than my flesh. And then from that place, in union with the faith of Christ, you act accordingly in patience. Even though your emotions may be screaming for relief, to be petted, to be fed, oh, feed the beast, feed the beast. But as you step out in faith, you know what happens? For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ. Now when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you will be revealed with Him in fullness of glory. You see? You appropriate Him in that moment. And when you appropriate Him, His glory overtakes you. And His glory is bigger than your emotions. It all begins to change. There was a point in all this, so just being transparent with you, where it was happening so fast. You know when your brain gets fried, your eyes like to have sawdust in it? And then it just, the demands and the stuff just kept coming so fast, and suddenly you find yourself just walking after the flesh. But in that moment, man, but even in your failure, particularly your failure, behold His glory. And part of His glory is forgiveness, restoration. And to own that stuff and to say, Lord, I'm in Christ. That's not who I am. I'm born into fullness. I carry fullness. I'm born for glory. I can either live in this nonsense of aggravation, or I can let You reveal Yourself and I get to walk in glory. I can walk in glory in any, you know what I'm saying? My world has been the last 7 days. I don't count sheep when I go to bed at night. It's bedpans. That didn't seem very glorious. But when Christ is revealed, we reveal Him in glory. It's so practical. Because everything's summed up in Jesus. So no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're being faced with, what's the issue? Well, if that person would just change, no. Everything's summed up in Jesus. Well, that situation would just change, nope. Everything's summed up in Jesus. Well, if I just get more money in, nope. Everything's summed up in Jesus. Well, if this would go, if this would happen, if they would get whatever, no. Everything's summed up in Jesus. He's God's answer and solution to everything. And so you behold His glory. And by faith, live from that place. Then you're living by the faith of the Son of God. Glory's being revealed and you get caught up in glory. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the glory of God fell, everything changed and reacted to the glory of God. Your own humanity does too. It was just so cool. I found myself at 4 o'clock in the morning. My first thoughts were, oh my gosh, am I going to get enough sleep? Am I going to get enough sleep? And then to remember. See, this, all that's to say, what, Chuck, what do you mean? It's so complicated. No, the whole deal is like, okay, I'm in Christ. because that carries everything. And everything's summed up in him. No, this isn't what's going on. This is going on, but really the truth is I'm in Christ. And then in union from him, act out of the mind of Christ. And at 4 o'clock in the morning till 6 in the morning, I'm walking around the house, running back and forth, doing different things I'm having to do. Like a river glorious. It's supernatural. That's glory taking over. Is God's perfect peace reigning all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Resting in stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's the normal Christian life. So I hope this made sense. I'm a lot more excited about it than I'm able to communicate it. But I can just tell you this, here's the deal. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, the answer is all summed up in a person. A person. You're in that person. You contain that person. Full of unsearchable riches. There's never a situation you ever find yourself in that Jesus doesn't have the grace wealth to deal with it. The emotional wealth to deal with it. And the more you learn to do that, the more you learn to behold his glory, that's the renewing of the mind. It's not about how many verses you can memorize. Those are great. They help us. Sure. But too many generations of Christians can't read or write. But they can still be transformed. Behold the otherness of Jesus. And everything summed up in him. It's not her fault. It's not his fault. It's not that fault. It's not its fault. It's not their fault. If you're blowing it. It's because you've stopped beholding his glory. Period. The only solution for your thing is Jesus. For your temptation is Jesus. And when Jesus is revealed, glory takes over. And glory is bigger than any sin, any feeling, any emotion, any crazy situation ever. One of the things about Livia's deal is that her breathing's gotten real bad. If you remember years ago, something long, real, really bad. So we're dealing with all this. And what is about like 10 to 9 last night? The power goes off. And so she didn't have her oxygen. And I'm thinking, everything's summed up in Jesus. And you got to keep her breathing. You got to keep this going. You know, the people are texting me from around the country, how's Livia doing? I said, well, we're doing great. You know, we don't have power. And but we're in Christ. But it came back on real quick, which is a miracle for some. Amen. This is helpful. I'm rambling. I know. I'm sorry. It's been a rambling kind of a week. But let that sink down the inside of you. Everything is summed up in a person, Jesus. I don't want to wait to go to heaven, look back and go, man, everything, every problem I ever had, every issue is all summed up in the person of Jesus. He was the solution to everything, but I just wouldn't behold his glory. I was too busy beholding the situation, beholding my limitation, beholding other people's activity. No glory there. Amen. But, okay, well, I thought for sure I'd preach about 15 minutes, but I needed to say all this. It makes me feel better. Amen.